People, hello. This is episode 127, and it is a two-man show. Actually, let me rephrase it. It's a one-man, one-woman show, as plans fell through for the entire group, because like I say in the show, it seems like once every twice a year that happens, and that's why there's all of us that on the show. It's going to be weird one day if I have plans that fall through and those three have to come up with a way of doing the show. They're not going to know what to do, so heaven forbid that should ever happen. That said, I talk about the sponsors in the show. I talk about some other stuff coming up in the show, so you're just going to have to listen to the show. I'm going to keep this short, much like the episode's a little shorter, and we hope we did a good filler episode. We had some stuff to talk about, but we already have another show written, but we're going to push that off for a couple weeks because got a busy week coming up this week with two guests and a live stream, and just shit's going down, people. You need to be along for the ride. So download, rate it, share it, tell people all over the world about it. Oh, also, head to PCBombcast.com, which I believe John Shannon needs to get that thing up and running. I know he's close. I don't know what he's dragging his butt on, just because that's what he do sometimes. He's not worth what I'm paying him, I can tell you that. Or actually, I'm getting more than what he's worth because I'm not paying him. So yeah, check us out there. Let me go ahead and run through it. You can also follow me on the Twitter and the Facebooks and all that stuff at Bohannon00. You can do the flop at MJ Bunani on the Twitter, I believe. And then there's the Hummeltown on Twitter. Then there's Jambender J on Twitter. And you can find us all everything else from there. So, oh, and the podcast, obviously, across all formats at PC Bombcast. And so, yeah, now I'm going to, about 3 seconds, there's going to be an explosion. 2, 1. Back, and it is a quiet studio Bohagen with just me and the lovely Flop. This is first off, happy Easter, everyone.
Happy April Fool's Day.
And yes, this is not an April Fool's. We are releasing an episode. I don't know why people would think we would trick them.
No.
You know what I mean?
But this is our last podcast.
Yeah, you know how Tom sometimes says, I'm over that joke. That joke's played out. Don't do that joke anymore or whatever, like you did with the Die Hard thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of that way when you see people post Happy Zombie Jesus Day. That's just dumb. I mean, I don't necessarily share the beliefs of every Easter-loving person out there, but I certainly think that that is just a cheap, retarded, low-hanging fruit joke.
I think another retarded April Fool's prank is, I'm pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
I'm expecting.
There also has been a significant number of fake beers released by breweries today. And it's, everybody, you gotta come original.
Come original.
Yeah, like 311 said. But that said, we are back. And there is no game today because it's just the two of us. But we do have some topics.
We do?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll probably just, I don't even know how long we're going to go today, but we're going to jump right in.
I brought nothing.
I know you brought nothing. You brought a charming personality and stunning looks is what you brought.
And dirty hair, because all I did was put dry shampoo in it.
Oh, yeah. You're a little bit nappy today. Is that okay to say to a white woman?
It doesn't offend me.
Okay.
It might offend a black woman. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I don't know how many black women listen to our show, but if you do, you're...
Let us know. Nappy's not a thing.
Yeah.
We should be saying.
Plus, you're beautiful. So here we go. We're going to jump right in. I'm going to start off with something that, thanks to credit, longtime friend, old friend from Springfield, Ryan Novak. I believe he's a teacher in Arizona. He used to be a teacher in, like, Nixon. Now he's out in Arizona. He posted something on his Facebook that I had not known about, but you had known about this, apparently.
Okay.
And so I had to look it up. And so back when I was working at the old school Caveman Comics in Springfield, which turned into V-Stock and all that stuff now, there was Smallville was a big thing. It was really starting out. So this had been years and years ago. And on Smallville, there were two girls in particular that always were like geek crush girls for every guy that was into comic books. Or I didn't like that show, but I admitted that they were good-looking girls. And I even met Allison Mack at a convention for a brief, like, 10-second, hey, and shake her hand, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But so he posted, you know, I was wondering where Allison Mack was. So I Googled, and this came up, and it was just timely. So I looked this up too. Apparently,
Wait. This person just happened to think of it, and that's how they found
the story.
Also, the story just recently broke. So I'm.
Well, he's
no offense, but I question his.
Or maybe he was thinking about her, and he saw it in his feed. Maybe that was what it was. But So I looked this up after I immediately saw this. And so at first I was didn't know how to pronounce this, but NXIVM, it's Nexium is what they call it. Mm-hmm. So I had to look. I didn't know anything about this. This is all brand new to me. But I'm going to start with this, and then you'll see where it gets analogous to Mac if you don't know. So on Monday, but it'd be March 26, Mexican authorities closed in on Keith Rainier, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, the co-founder of the controversial cult-like self-help group Nexium. Again, that's spelled N-X-I-V-M, so it's, you know, trendy.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah, so Nexium is, according to its own website, a community guided by humanitarian principles that seek to empower people and answer important questions about what it means to be human.
That whole description right there screams cult.
Yeah, and we're going to get into, like, some of that here in a little bit, too, about what...
Maybe it's because I'm antisocial, but anytime it says, join our community for blah, 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 I'm out.
Yeah, well, and I think you're going to have a similar take as me when we're all said and done with this. So, anyway, Mr. Rainier, if that is how you pronounce your name.
Let me see.
It's R-A-N-I-E-R-E.
I don't know.
We'll call him Keith because we're on a first name basis. He was charged with sex trafficking and forced labor conspiracy.
Oh.
He's 57. He is known as Vanguard to his followers.
Oh, second flag.
Yeah, he was arrested and he is at his $10,000 a week luxury villa near Puerto Vallarta. And
third flag out of the country.
He's going to be extradited to Texas for arraignment. Well, there's a reason he was out of the country. So far, he's not sought bail as of when this story was published a couple days ago. So Tuesday in Fort Worth, that's where he was extradited to, and he's going to be transported to Brooklyn soon. So on Tuesday is when this happened. FBI raided the home of Nexium. Oh, no, I'm sorry. In addition to this, on Tuesday the next day, they raided the home of Nexium president Nancy Salzman, our prefect to her followers.
Jesus.
And one of the spearheads on where they're getting all the FBI got all their information is former publicist, Nexium publicist, Frank Parlato, P-A-R-L-A-T-O. I guess he's the whistleblower, and he believes that they also raided another house, which he believed was linked to Dr. Brandon Porter, who was another Nexium person. So this Nexium's considered by a cult to most people, and this all started last fall when the New York Times interviewed several women claiming to have been forcibly bonded as part of their entry into the secret Nexium sect called DOS, D-O-S.
Wait, time out. Is R. Kelly also a part of this cult? Or is he like a subsect or something of it? Because, you know, he's got his own cult.
He does have the Harold. But I believe he would be a rival cult when you hear some of the other parts. So the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn reportedly launched an investigation after that article, which is why Rainier fled to Mexico with some of his female followers, which turned out included to be Smallville actress Allison Mack. More on her in a little while. And she was also photographed in the scene, like somebody Instagrammed it or Instagram lived it while he was getting arrested, and she's clearly in it. So if convicted, he faces 15 years to life. So but I looked up and did some research on this Nexium place because I have never heard of it. So
that's because we're sane people.
Yeah, but I still think that we should have heard about it. And like I said, when I'm said and done, I think this screams something else that you like. Or not like, but you've got a lot of pop culture interest in.
Okay.
So Nexium is an umbrella.
Polygamy?
Yeah, no. It's an umbrella org. ESP is the organization that owns it, and that's Executive Success Programs. Keith Rainier has allegedly maintained a rotating cast of 15 to 20 women he's have active sexual relationships with.
Nasty.
Yeah. So the women must remain sexually faithful to Rainier.
And while he goes and plants a seed everywhere.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And he is not permitted to discuss. They are not permitted to discuss their relationships with him. Nexium course teachings advocate that men must have multiple sexual partners while women remain monogamous.
Clearly, he made these rules.
Yeah.
Okay, that's clear.
So DOS strives to help women overcome their inherent weakness and over-emotional nature. Which I'm on board with their philosophies, I guess, you know.
Pretty sure this is, I mean, this is a polygamy thing also. I mean,
it gets even better because DOS, master slave participants, allegedly.
Master slave?
Listen, yeah, they quotate master slave participants allegedly thought they were joining a women only sorority. But it turns out DOS is a pyramid style organized criminal group with levels of slaves headed by masters. So Rainier is the singular ruling master, quote unquote. Male members of DOS, also reportedly known as The Vow, formed around 2015.
Is this a movie?
So DOS stands for Dominus Obsequitus Sororium, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, which loosely translates to Lord Master over the Obedient Female Companions.
Stop it.
I'm not making this up. This is all out there for people to read. So DOS slaves.
And people fell for this.
Yeah, it gets even better. I'm not done. DOS slaves had to recruit more slaves, therefore the pyramid thing, to become masters themselves. So you had to get more slaves under you so you could become a master.
Of course, all men not all men, but this is very appealing for men.
Well, yeah, I know. If it appeals to anyone, that's why I don't understand how women were sucked into it. Here's where
it's like sex trafficking almost.
Here's where it's going to draw a parallel to something else that you've always been interested in reading about.
Scientology?
Yeah. Luring a new DOS member, the complaint says that the master required collateral in form of incriminating photos, videos, or damning confessions about a recruit or the recruit's family.
So wait. They come in thinking it's a sorority of sorts, and then they get blackmailed into staying.
Well, what is the thing they do in Scientology? What do they have to do going clear? What do they do?
You have to
dump all your secrets.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what they require them to do too. Like, I feel like this person read Dianetics and it's like, I think I could do that too. Only let's do more sex. So, it is used about after it's done. You know that material is obviously used to blackmail members into staying put. It's to dissuade them from speaking out. DOS members had to provide new collateral once a month, and members were also threatened with having their assets taken from them. DOS slaves were allegedly forced to participate in torture ritual in which they were held down naked by other members and branded with Rainier's initials using a cauterizing device. The encounters were often filmed, and I've got that the initials, and if you see I can link a picture of what it looks like. It looks like a K-R-A-M. That would be Kevin Rainier and Allison Mack's initials in a little
Wow, so she's number one female.
Well, we're going to get into that here in a second, but it said...
Wait. I just want to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. There was a very...
Interruption.
Yes, very similar episode on Hawaii Five-0, but it was sex trafficking.
Yeah.
And the guy tattooed, like, his name on all the girls.
It is a great podcast when we can learn life lessons through Hawaii Five-0.
Why it's such a great show.
Everybody says Black Mirror and Hawaii Five-0 closely resemble reality than any other shows on TV. I think that's a thing. So DOS members were allegedly forced to provide acts of care for their masters and, of course, have sex with Rainier. These acts of care including running errands, cleaning their homes, and preparing food. They also had to perform uncomfortable acts of self-denial, such as taking icy showers and standing for four to 5 hours at a time at 4 a.m. The document says that the slaves were given assignments. These assignments could include, you know, obviously sex with Rainier, and tasked with following brutal low-calorie starvation diets to remain incredibly thin, as was his preference. Reportedly, they believe they risk the release of their collateral if they refuse. And more than 50 DOS slaves under him at one time is what he had. That said... Ooh. One defector, known as Jane Doe 1, claimed Rainier offered her a job, gave her money after she slept with him, and then asked for the money back when she decided she was leaving the group. It was a loan. It's just a sex loan. I mean, that's common practice, right? So Rainier's co-conspirators, this is in the official documents released by the State Department, dubbed CC1 and CC2. CC1 is a direct slave of Rainier, who is described in the document as an actress with a longtime relationship with Rainier. It conducted video interviews with Rainier. And, of course, when you do your research, it's Allison Mack. Like, that's his right-hand woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, so they do the whistleblower, Frank Peralto, he says there's no way around it. It's Allison Mack.
So he was a part of this? And at some point, he grew a conscience?
Well, a couple of people did. We're going to get into that, too, here in just a second with Kristen Kruk, who was Lana on Smallville.
So this guy must have gotten in trouble, and that's how he started getting on the outs. And he's like, fuck it, I'm going to out everything.
Yeah,
and Kristen Mack,
Allison Mack.
Allison Mack, did they go into this together?
I don't know. I mean, I've got it over here. I'm going to get to her here a little more here in a second. But this, I mean, this just is crazy. So
Wait. Did you say two chicks from Smallville were in it?
Yeah. So let me tell you this. So apparently, and I think, and I'm hoping, I mean, the optimist part of me says that this whistleblower did the same thing as Kristen Kruk.
That's what I meant when I said Kristen Kruk.
Yeah, they were apparently a part of it, but Kristen left after it was released in that 2012 report that he also had a sexual. He was a sexual predatory with a yearning for underage girls. And then she bounced. She's like, underage women? No. I don't know if...
That's what it took for her to get out?
I don't know if she tolerated branding and all that stuff, but I guess there's a philosophy for this publicist and her that if, hey, you're grown women and men and you willingly go into this and you deserve what you get. But and yes, there is another dark page that's turned when you get into underage, but... I mean, you're sitting in a room with a guy that come up with all this crazy shit, and you think that he's not into some other stuff?
If some man approached me and he was like, my name is, what's this guy's code name? Or?
Keith, the Vanguard.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck off, dude. No.
So, CC1 is directly implicated in various stories shared by DOS defector Jane Doe 1. We do not know who that is. Disturbing stories, alleged manipulation and sexual abuse at the hands of him. CC1 forced her slaves to pose with new photographs and close-up pictures of their vaginas. Apparently, CC1 also was abusing her nephews that were living with her at the time.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So, and again, this is all alleged that she's CC1, but most people that were in on the inner circle says, no, there's no doubt.
So CC1...
is Allison Mack.
Her family's just as fucked up because they saw what she was into or a part of, and they left children with her.
Or maybe that's what they got them out of there. By the way, she was by ex-members of the group, apparently said that people in the group called Allison Mack, Pimp Mack was her name. Pimp Mack. Which probably, of all the absurdity and delusional, you know, followings and stuff, Vanguard, The Vow, DOS, how the hell does Pimp Mac fit into the theme that they're going with?
I don't know.
So here we go. CC2 and CC1, direct slave and a co-founder of a side group in Nexium called The Delegates. And an actress and model known as Jane Doe 2 is the other person that they're
that's
using.
Why they're Jane.
Yeah, to keep
they're
them safe.
Jane Doe. Well, I mean, as a normal person, I'd want to be safe too, but I feel like these are people that we've heard of.
Well, Jane Doe 2 says she was recruited by CC2. And again, we don't know who CC2 is yet. And Jane Doe 2, and I mean, some people theorize that CC2 may have been Kristen Kruk, but there's no one that's the publicist guy doesn't say that he thinks that. But Jane Doe 2 defected in 2016 after CC1 tried to push her into a special assignment of seducing Rainier and then documenting proof of the encounter afterward. So it sounds like she was trying to put herself into a bigger power play.
Wow.
Jane Doe 2 reportedly captured images of collateral of other members in hopes of preventing her own collateral from being leaked. So she's a good person, too. And apparently he was getting rich because classes from Nexium and others linked in the group cost around $5,000 for a 5-day worship. And it's run like a multi-level marketing scheme. So you were encouraged to keep attending classes, recruit others, and blah, 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 blah. And there was goal levels. So you could...
just like Scientology.
Exactly like Scientology. And there was also... you had to pay $2,000 or more to be at a week-long celebration called Vanguard Week, which was Rainier's birthday week on August 26th. He apparently had...
he didn't make it this year. Dang it.
Yeah, he apparently had friends in high places, too, because according to U.S. Attorney's detention memo, Claire W. Bronfem, however you pronounce that, heir to the Seagram's fortune, and Nexium self-described operations director, apparently financially supported Rainier for years, and this included repeatedly over the years, including providing him with millions of dollars and paying for private travel, costing up to $65,000 a flight. Also paid for the lawyers keeping suits against Nexium's critics, or lawyers to sue Nexium's critics. Very Scientology-like.
Yeah.
And then also this Bronfman, B-R-O-N-F-M-A-N, also owns a private island in Fiji, which Rainier has stayed multiple times at length. So, you know, it, just in case people don't know, that both Kristen Kruk and Allison Mack were both on Maxim's Hot 100 at one time. They, you know, they're, like I said, there was all these videos that of her interviewing, and they were all, like, scripted, obviously, and they tried to pawn them off as real interviews, much like Scientology does all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he's basically a real-life supervillain. He's a Smallville villain is what he is.
That show just prepared them for life.
And apparently it was Kruk who brought Mack into Nexium, and then she left. On the show, Smallville, Mack was Chloe Sullivan, and like I said, Kruk was Lana Lang. Yeah, I mean, boy, she's apparently made it all the way up into the inner circle, and they're saying that she is...
Yeah, then she, that means she just fucked a lot.
Yeah, yeah, and multiple people, you have to assume.
Yeah.
Like, she pyramid fucked her way to the top.
My God, the amount of STDs running rampant in that cult.
This story's insane.
Yes.
She's on the verge of getting arrested, if she hasn't already and it hasn't broke yet, but this is insane. I mean, I am...
It's astonishing how people believe in things like this or believe stories. It's in today's day and age, you can find out the truth really easily, and how gullible people are.
So anymore. You and I have had talk about Scientology on this before, because you watched the show with what's her face?
Leah Remini.
What did I call her that you don't like?
Remedy.
Remedy. Yeah, Leah Remedy.
There's no D.
And
ever.
So that's insane, right? But that just goes to show you that there's enough room in this world for multiple groups of insanity, because this is a completely separate group with similar ways of operating.
Maybe these are defectors from Scientology that found a way, and they're like, well, this is similar, but they have some kind of better, different aspects,
yeah.
And then they go to it, and then they find out, fuck, I'm stuck.
What's the leader, Miscavige?
Yeah, right now.
So Miscavige, maybe this Rainier was like, we don't know. I don't know. I didn't see anything, and I didn't look it up.
He's like, I need to be that guy.
Yeah, maybe he thought, well, I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
And they didn't have enough shit to keep him in. Or hell, wouldn't it be crazy if you found out that they were funneling money over just so they could do it, you know, have their own thing?
Are they rivals? Is it like the Kings and the, what is it, the Kings and Jets?
Yeah, the Sharks and
Sharks
Jets.
Sharks and Jets, yeah, not Kings.
Yeah, who knows? But I found it very interesting, and it does tie in with what we do in pop culture, but... I mean, this girl was one of the girls in geek, you know,
yeah.
She was the Kelly Cuoco before she was there, you know.
Oh, big upper arms.
yeah,
no,
you know
just
what
kidding.
That means. But, and now, and train wreck. Apparently
that's crazy.
I think that all these geek guys that used to fawn over at conventions, they might have had a shot. All they had to do was say, I'm going to be a part of Nexium.
I think a lot of people that are in the celebrity world are actually crazy, because you have to have a whole different level of...
There's a low self. It seems low self esteem as a common trait.
But you have to have a whole other level of thinking about the world to want to be a celebrity like that, or just whatever.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but
they're great.
I don't even think. I just wanted to bring the story to light. I don't know that we have to discuss it. I think we can all agree, and I think the other two would, if they were here, the Badger and the and Bender. And they, I mean, that's nutty. That is nutty as it gets.
Yeah, this is fucked up.
So
not nutty, it's fucked up.
But the next story I brought up, and I've got two stories that are kind of dark like that one. This next one is also pretty dark, but this is...
Okay, thanks, Debbie.
This one trails into the land of the law. So Missouri is proposing a new law, and it's overdue, because I'm going to tell you why. I didn't know this, but there are many states in our country that allow under 18 people to marry. For instance, New Hampshire allows 13-year-old girls and 14-year-old boys with both parents' permission. North Carolina allows 14 to 15 to marry with a judge consent, 16 to 17 with a parent. Florida is in a similar boat to North Carolina, but here's the deal. Missouri, apparently, for the last 25-plus years has been the go-to home for migrating old guys to wanting to marry underage girls, because up until this law is passed, below the age of 15, you had to have one parent's signature in order for a under 15-year-old to marry a grown man. Or the other direction. So
there's so many things messed up with that.
Yeah. So finally, there's a law that's going to be voted on or is voted on here recently, where they're going to boost that to needing a judge's consent on the ages of 15 to 17. And anyone over the age of 21 is legally not allowed to marry anyone under the age of 17, no matter what.
I just feel like maybe the law should be 18 and over, no matter what. You have to.
Once you can vote, you can marry.
You have to take a test to drive. You have to, like, register to vote, but you can get married with it. Like, come on, people.
So between 2000 and 2010, the United States saw over 250,000 children as young as 10.
Stop it.
Marry an overwhelming majority, but the largest percentage of that marriages took place in Missouri because we made it easier in the state for 10-year-olds to get married.
Why would you? Oh my God.
Who looks at a 10-year-old and says, I want to marry them?
Fucked up people.
That's right.
Because when our kid was 10, I wanted to punch her because she was such a brat.
Yeah. It's like I said, one weird story begets another weird story, but that is insane. I mean,
was this a wormhole that you just fell down one day?
Like, I credit Joe Rogan just haphazardly mentioning it in one of his episodes, so I had to look into it. Like, is that true? Like, or is that something he just heard?
He mentioned Missouri?
Well, some people in his show, they were talking about weird stuff you find on the internet and YouTube, the YouTube people that are getting kicked off for having questionable videos, not like the pedophilia videos, but videos that pedophiles would look at for like spank bait is what they. And then they go, well, did you know in Missouri they just now passed a law to where 11-year-olds can't marry? I'm like, it's 2018. How did it take till 2018 to get that law to pass?
Here's what's fucked up, because we're like one of those states that, you know, is real close to other states where in-laws get together. Family gets
We would
together.
Be like the northwestern tier of that.
Right.
Yeah, that.
So,
with all due respect to Kentucky,
our state allowed one parent signature.
One.
So that could be a parent wanting to marry his daughter.
Well, I don't know if that, because I don't think that's still not legal. But what it could be is one parent that's a wackadoodle, or that is willing to sell, or whatever.
I need your piece of land. Here's my 10-year-old daughter.
Something. I mean, what in the blue fuck is going on in the Missouri?
I don't know.
I mean, I like our state. There are some problems with our state from time to time.
There's problems everywhere in the world.
We're supposedly one of the most racist states in the country in terms of its laws, and we also have apparently pedophilia-friendly laws. I mean, like I said, it's 2018. It's time to shape up. Can't we just figure this shit out? I mean,
they're just wait. I'm not arguing with that, but our country is just now coming along to letting gays and lesbians be married.
Well, and there's still fights over that because of the current, you know.
And now you're asking for our country to not marry off our children at 10 years old? Come on, Jeremy.
I know. Where is my head at? Again, I'm not getting political, but I will say, regardless of where your position is or who's in charge, it seems like we're lacking common sense laws in this world.
A lot of them.
But we're supposed to be the country that leads the world in examples.
Whoa.
Turns out we're crazy, too.
No.
I mean, we are crazy, too.
We're leading the world in the wrong direction. And listen, if any of you people out there want to marry a 10-year-old,
Don't listen to our show. Don't even download it. I don't need your numbers.
You're not one of us.
Yeah, I don't need your numbers. If they're not over 18, hell, I'd argue if they're not over 21. Don't even.
I don't know why you'd want to be married. I mean, we were over 30.
There's a whole world out there for 18-year-olds.
I'm not saying wait till you're 30, but.
And I know some good people that have been married young and are still together, but I got to tell you, the statistics show if you get married in your late teens, before you're like into the 25, there's majority of you get a divorce. Plus, I'm all for life experiences before.
Besides, your frontal lobe isn't even fully developed until you're like 25.
Yeah.
So you're making stupid decisions.
And
everything you do before 25 is dumb.
And I don't know if any of the girls that I was quote-unquote was a boyfriend to at that time.
quote-unquote. Well, they had high expectations. You were like, hey.
Well, I know for all the bad stuff I did to them, I apologize. But regardless of what they thought, no woman should have wanted to marry me from 18 to 25, much less. Probably more like it wasn't until you that I was even close to being to myself thinking, oh, marriage would be great. You know, it was like, that was completely on the other end. So the fact that you would want to get married, I can't, I'd like to really sit down and see if someone would psychiatrically evaluate not only the person wanting to marry the 10-year-old, but what the 10-year-old thinks. Because I think there's a level of fear that is causing them to stay.
So in the fucked up Mormon world, where polygamy is, I don't understand the whole polygamy thing, but I follow it quite. I mean, I watch shows about it, so it interests me. It's not something I want to do, but in the fucked up part of it is these guys marrying these young girls.
But
those aren't legal marriages. Once you're married the first time, all the other marriages are just spiritual. Yeah, it's only
legal. Yeah, it's only legal in the eyes of their God and not into the laws of the United States.
But that's why I forget the guy's name that is overall was in trouble for all the
John Smith.
No, not the originator. I don't know. But there was a guy that he got in trouble and he's in jail for
With
all
the
that.
Exception of Bill Paxson on Big Love. I don't know too many Amish famous people, so.
And did you say Amish?
Amish. I apologize to Amish. I meant Mormon. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
we have a Mormon church right around the corner we could go to.
We certainly do. And my family is loosely affiliated with.
Don't you have family?
Yeah, I have one that still kept it. Hey, but let's get on to some lighter news. So first off, I think the big thing to talk about in normal pop culture this week is Roseanne is back.
Mm-hmm.
It topped 20 million viewers. It was actually the first show to really knock down the Big Bang off its pedestal.
We'll see how those ratings go in week two. Yeah. Because to me, and I even said it while we were watching it, it felt forced.
So the critics and everybody on the Facebooks, whether you are left-leaning or right-leaning, and the reason I bring that up is because apparently that's one of the things that's propelling the comedy right now. And that's one of the things that for those guys that left Last Man Standing, which is now it's on the back on the block to be rebooted or brought back.
Rebooted after 8 months
show.
Off the air.
Yeah. And I'm with you. We watched it. I didn't hate it. I thought they did an okay job of handling the politics without.
But you can't take that the whole season. Yeah. They made up, so they can't keep fighting over.
Well, it's going to be a running gag, I'm sure. But I agree with what you said. It can't be the focal point of the comedy over and over, or it's going to get old, or not, or it's going to maintain the 20 million right-leaning people. But I got to think that of the 20 million people that watched it, half were. I bet it was split down the middle.
I feel like it lost its essence.
I didn't. I myself watched it. We watched it. I was mildly entertained.
I did laugh. I just don't think it was the Roseanne that I loved back in the day.
Yeah, and I liked Darlene and Dan. That was my favorite two parts of it.
Of the old or the new?
The new. The new. And I thought they were fine back in the day, but I also feel like if we were to go back and watch those episodes, I don't think Roseanne's a particularly good actress. I don't think she is at all. I don't think she delivers a line. I think she's a phenomenal historical stand-up comic.
I felt like her acting has fallen. I never thought she was a great actress when it originally aired, but it just felt more organic.
Her delivery feels like she's reading.
Yes, yeah.
To me. And I just thought the episode was okay. And like you said, I would like to see what happens in week 2, 3, and 4 to those ratings.
Yeah.
But the fact is, if they get down to 9 million, it's still going to be on air because it got renewed already.
I mean, let's be real. Those ratings came because it's a reboot, and people wanted to see what it was about.
Same thing happened with Will and Grace, and it's staying around for season 2 also.
Oh, really?
So we've got
I was never a fan of the original, so I've never...
So we have, on TV right now, it's a microcosm of the country. We've got the pro-gay left show, Will and Grace, and the pro-Trump right show, Roseanne, are both making great ratings.
Mm-hmm.
What a world. What a world.
Yeah. I think we said that in the first story.
I think so, too. I know this is the what a world, but let's get off of what a world. Let's just go to what a concert. You and I recently went to a concert last Saturday.
We did, and it was fucking amazing.
You gave me shit constantly the week or two leading in because you don't want to go to it. You don't want to go to it.
No. You kept forgetting when the date was.
Yeah, but that's not because it was the concert for you, and I was going the whole time. And,
maybe. I could have changed my mind.
No, I knew where the tickets were.
No, you didn't.
That's true. I would have printed mine off and got there ahead of me. So we went to Judah and the Lion. The opening acts were Colony House was the bigger opening act, and then...
I don't remember the first one.
Yeah.
But they were both very good bands.
And
yeah.
For those that don't know, this is kind of the folk rock that's gotten popular because of groups like Mumford & Sons, things like that. It's in that vein, but I gotta tell you this, I wasn't on the fence. I love live music and I love being with you at concerts, so I was going, but I didn't have
expectations.
Amazing expectations.
I told you it was going to change your life. And that was my expectation.
Well, I don't know that my life's changed, but
in my opinion, it was awesome.
Well, I knew a couple of their songs, and in spite of not knowing all their catalog of music, it was as energetic and as entertaining as a show I've seen in a long time.
High energy the entire
Very
time Judah and the Lion were on stage.
And that guy, he jams. That's yes. what he do. He just yeah. jam.
And I feel like he was sick. He coughed a lot. So I feel like he may have been under the weather somewhat, unless he coughs all the time. I don't know.
Well, he couldn't have coughed because he just didn't have, he wasn't taking a lot of drinks of anything on stage.
Yeah.
And he was constantly bebopping around. And by the way, they did a cover of one of their favorite songs from, see, he said from when he was 15, Mr. Brightside by yeah. the Killers, which when he came into the crowd, yours truly got the saying, it was only a kiss, into the
he
mic
did
as
come
loud
into
as
the, yep.
he got.
You
right
were in, a celebrity for 15 seconds.
He got right in my face with the mic, and he and I were duet
yes.
singing on the mic together.
It was awesome.
6 inches up, I could have kissed him.
You were the only one that actually made contact and didn't move out of his way, so he's like, well, I'm going to sing with this dude.
This big son of a bitch is going to rock with me, is what he yeah. said. And we did, by God. We rocked.
He also, they also covered T-Pain's Booty Work.
I know. I
at
thought
the very
that was,
beginning. Short little.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool. It was a good show, man. Let me tell you guys this. If you're on the fence about them, or if they're a band that you just don't know about, I will go see them every time they're in town from now
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
They were very, very good. It was a fun, fun show. So, yeah, so out of our six-pack scale, I gave it a six.
I gave it a six. My only con of that concert was those motherfuckers don't put chairs out for people.
Yeah,
and as a 40-year-old that stood in line in a bar for 2 hours making sure I had a spot to sit when I got into the venue and found out there were no chairs, I was kind of upset.
Yeah,
so I stood for 6 hours, it
yeah.
felt like.
So all the listeners that know the pageant know how the layout is. You usually have the pit, which is the lower level right in front mm-hmm. of the stage, and there's usually chairs everywhere around the rails and up the high. The only chairs were the second deck, and that's yeah. because that's the second deck, and no chairs.
It's like theater seating up
they
there.
They didn't
so.
Want chairs.
Yeah.
So there were no
that's
chairs.
That's fine, but you know, we stood in line. Well, we didn't actually stand in line with people because we held their spot because the woman was pregnant. I felt super bad for her because, I mean, at least she sat before. But she had to stay in that whole entire concert.
Yeah.
She was clearly pregnant.
Yeah.
Way along.
I apologize if you're listening and you're not pregnant and you're just kind of got a big old prego belly.
No, she was pregnant.
Yeah, she was.
He said
I remember.
She was pregnant.
I remember him saying that. They were good people. We had kept their spots warm because of it, and we had great spots. Obviously, we had great seats or great standing room only spots because I got to sing with the lead singer. So, and you guys know my lovely voice after all this time. I'm a brilliant lead singer. At least when it's screaming, which is what I did.
Yeah, it was
so,
a
yeah,
good time.
So hard six on that. Hard six out of six.
Yes.
One of the most entertaining shows I've ever been to.
Yes.
And definitely, it's my gross point blank of concerts. And by that, I mean when I went to a freshman year in college, there was free movie nights for college students. And we went, didn't know any movie that was there, didn't have a clue what we were going to watch. So we walked into one because, hey, we know who John Cusack is.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. This concert was the same way. Had no expectations, no read, no reviews, and it was blown away.
I had expectations because I love the band.
And they were
so.
Exceeded.
Yes, yes.
So,
we met a couple that said that they wanted to go see them the last time they were in town, which was less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And the tickets sold out. They sell out relatively quick, not like in minutes, but within a couple months.
Yeah.
Which is quick. And they said they didn't get a chance to get tickets for that last concert here. So they went to, what did they say, Kansas City?
Yes, and
to watch
them
it,
there.
And so that's how great they are.
Yeah.
If you want to go to a different city to see them, and they have risen quickly. Like I think the last time or 2 times ago they were here, they played a very or was it Del Mar Hall
something
last
like
time?
That.
Something
yeah.
very small, and then they've been working up and up and up into bigger venues.
They're a stadium
so.
Band. They're a stadium band. They could
yes.
be. That's how big their sound and their entertaining their mm-hmm. show is. I only want to see them at the pageant. I mean, I'd go see them anywhere, but the pageant is such a good venue mm-hmm. to balance this great sound intimacy and a good big band
yes.
feel. That was the perfect place to see them.
Yeah.
And speaking of another topic that we've got to talk about, Missy ran off. She's like, I'm done with this show. Oh, God. Lou in the studio was whining to get upstairs, so we got to go let him upstairs. This is why you don't let dogs on your podcast. Dogs just can't carry a podcast. That's all there is to it. But this next topic was suggested to us by a fan of the show, Phil Rerat, last name mispronounced on purpose. He brought up a sad Ben Affleck story to me. Have you seen this?
Wait, first of all, A lot of people don't like Ben Affleck, so I have a hard time believing there's a sad story about him.
Well, here's the deal. So 2 years ago, there's a couple...
More sad than him getting divorced?
Well, it ties into it. So 2 years ago, there was a story that was published about Ben Affleck's back tattoo. And he denied it. He said the tattoos that people saw were
for a part.
For a part.
Yeah.
Well, a picture.
But I didn't believe that.
Well, a story came out on the interwebs from The New Yorker this week. And here's what the New York Post said. Ben Affleck is the kind of middle-aged white male sadness that the internet loves to mock, a mocking that depends on a rejection of this sadness, as well as a hedging identification with it. They published a story called The Great Sadness of Ben Affleck. And so...
Is this a funny story?
No. They're citing, and they in the story reference multiple pictures where he looks upset. And, you know, that. So he's sad Ben Affleck's become a great meme for the interwebs for a while. So recently, though, that article came out, and it was a picture of him at the beach. And that picture's been dubbed Fat Fleck because he looks a little dad bodish.
Yeah. How recent is that picture,
though? Recent. He was just caught on a beach by paparazzi somewhere.
Okay.
And he's, you know, he's got Batman bod, but I guess apparently he stopped working out a little bit. Well, Batman's done filming right now, so he's good.
I feel like you stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Well, I bet it was a pain in the butt at his age to go from normal Ben Affleck to being ripped for Batman.
That's what I'm saying. If he stays ready, he won't have to get re-ready.
You Jackman that shit, you know?
Yeah.
So this article was posted, and then Affleck, he responded days later with, at New Yorker, I'm doing fine. Thick skin bolstered by garish tattoos help. So he was, you know, he made light of it.
Yeah.
And it is a big phoenix rising from the ashes on the back of on his back. It is.
So is it real? Is it a real tattoo?
It's a real tattoo.
So why did he say that it was fake?
Because he's Ben Affleck. Why does he do what he does? He's a weird dude.
You're Ben Affleck, so you shouldn't give a fuck because you're one of the biggest stars.
Well, one of the things that this article, The New Yorker, said the reason for his depression is the fact that he's not over his breakup with Jennifer Garner.
Well, maybe don't fuck the nanny.
With Manjaw. But I just saw in a picture that, it was this picture from the beach. They spent the weekend together that spawned that picture.
And the nanny or him and Jennifer Garner?
Jennifer Garner and the kids all went up.
Yeah, it's probably because they're amicable. I mean, as you should, when you separate from your spouse, you should stay a family unit for your children in some aspects.
You said family unit.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I just wanted to make a bad sophomore
unit.
Yeah, joke.
Oh,
very, very immature joke. Because I'm talking about Ben Affleck here. I mean, you know what? You can never take away the fact that Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms. But outside of that, the guy's had one of the most up-and-down careers.
Yes.
He's polarizing in a weird way, not in a way that really matters. Like, some people like Kanye West are polarizing, and it really makes you get fired up.
Yeah.
With the exception of Josh Roberts, owner of the Comet Cave, by the way, putting on CaveCon in September.
nice book.
I don't know many people that just hate Ben Affleck. I know there was a lot of Batfleck backlash, but I don't know that the most people I know are like that. They don't care one way or the other. But for someone that people don't care for one way or the other,
people sure do want to hear about him.
He sure commands some attention. It's a weird dude.
Well, maybe it's because he's been so up and down. People are waiting for that next down for him.
He's had a good outside of career. He's had a good go. I mean,
his personal life. I mean, look at him with Lopez.
Yeah, he was doing Jenny from the Block. Then he had Manjaw Jennifer
Garner.
Yeah,
but that
Garner.
Shit was. Bonkers. Like, that seemed fake and put on.
It did seem like one of them was covering up that the fact that their preference went another direction, so they were publicists, put them together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you could see that story coming out. But, so Fat Fleck, Bat Fleck, the guy's got a good name for all these memes.
People that hate on him calling him Fat Fleck, maybe you're just jealous because you don't have his life. Now, maybe his life isn't all that great, but people know who he is. He makes fucking hella money.
Vince Vaughn made dad bod work. He slimmed down again now, but, you know, I mean, that's
a big dude to try and slim down, too.
They're both big guys.
Yeah, but isn't Vince Vaughn like...
6'4"?
Isn't he like a foot taller than Ben Affleck?
No, I think Ben Affleck's like 6'2".
Oh, I don't have my phone, or I'd look it up for you.
Matt Damon is the short one of the group, which he's had, you know, falling out.
Do you mean...
I mean, falling out on his career, like, it used to be up, 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 and it seems like his last few movies have been down, down, down.
He's one of those people, like, you know, they say when men get older, they look more distinguished and they get more handsome. That's not happening.
Yeah.
He's starting to look
like a normal old guy now, like the next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Instead of the, like, he was one time sexiest man of the, or Time Magazine, sexiest or whoever it was.
Yeah. It was like the boy next door. And now he's just like.
He was Jason Bourne and stud. And now he's like Jason Bourne's fat twin brother.
Yeah.
No, all disrespect to Matt Damon. We're going to talk about him again in an episode.
We don't mean
it. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I just thought, you know, thanks, Phil. This is kind of a, so Cards on the Table, this is a filler episode because we planned on doing an episode about celebrities and pop culture things that we are all in on.
Okay.
But because,
I didn't do my homework for that, so I'm kind of glad it fell through.
Yeah.
You tell me homework all the time, and I'm like, you know what? I'm actually working at work. Yeah, unlike you three.
Yeah, but you could also, when we're home looking at things, that's when you could do it. But hey, I didn't give you a lot of
notice.
Being
at home is my downtime.
When you research for the podcast. So,
no, like, I don't want to think
but
outside of helping the girls.
That explains a lot at home.
Oh.
That said, this episode fell through because the guys couldn't make it. And it's not that they couldn't make it. It seems like
we just couldn't make it work.
Once every 4 or 5 months, it seems like that's when an episode pops up where it's hard for us to do. And that's why I'm glad I got four of us total, three of you co-hosts to help me out with.
One by your side every day.
That's right, right. And I keep one in-house. You're like a co-host in a jar. I will break glass in case of emergency.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome, baby. That's why I cherish you.
It feels kind of like... I'll only use her if I need to, like right now.
Is that how the way it came across?
Yep. Well, then absolutely. That's exactly the words that I heard you say.
Well, then then good. It hit its intent. So all of that said, speaking of doing your homework, let's throw it to Missy, and that's one of the last segments of the show.
I don't have anything.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no.
I do have something, I think. I'm trying to come up with something for the throw it to Missy segment.
Like just to blow us all away?
Yeah, well, not blow you away, but maybe something. I'm thinking of something. I'm working on something.
Maybe,
so maybe I will surprise you.
Or
in
maybe
the future.
You come up with different ways to say I don't have anything every week. That is funny.
I should have Hayden show me how to talk British. I mean, she does that British accent.
Yeah, who knew our daughter's
like
going to be
British?
She just had a little play this week. She's going to be a thespian, a master thespian.
She loved it.
Most middle American people would be scared to death if their daughter turned out thespian. I can tell you that.
I know.
See, that's play on words. You know what? This is going to be a little short episode because we don't have much anything else. It was just us. We had these few topics, and I don't know that I have anything other than this is a busy week for the podcast. So on Thursday night, we have a guest coming in studio that I've been working on. We do. And I'll share
you
all that.
You didn't tell that to me.
Well, it was.
And it's not on our Cozy app.
Well,
which we, with as many times as I've mentioned Cozy in the calendar,
well, we should be getting paid. Yeah, Cozy.
For
the families that need to plan together.
Right. If you're not using the Cozy app and you have a family, you're doing life wrong.
So I don't want to butcher his last name because I haven't met him yet, but Ken Calcaterra.
Okay.
And he's going to come on here. He's got his own podcast.
I thought you said you didn't want to say his last name.
No, I didn't want to mispronounce it. Oh. I wanted to apologize in advance. He's a filmmaker, short filmmaker, a podcast host. From the St. Louis area, done music video directing and things like that. He's going to come on this Thursday.
Oh, cool.
We tried this once before, and it didn't work out because of our parental life at the time with sports and all that stuff. So he's going to do it now. And then, obviously, the weekend, whether it's Friday night or Saturday morning, Aaron Conaway, author of Waking the Weaver, a Timberhaven novel, is going to be here.
We're going to have a celebrity in the house.
So we're going to sit down and talk to him about writing a book, self-publishing a book, where his inspiration comes from. And we're also going to set up the old camera, and we're going to film us playing some Drunk Quest.
Who's playing Drunk Quest?
Me, you, Aaron, and a player to be named later, whether that's Bender or Tom or all both of them, because five people can play it.
Okay, well, that's going to happen later in the day because we do have softball that day.
Yeah, we do. We'll do it after that. Well, I figure what we'll do is we'll do the, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
We'll get the.
You don't have to lay out the plans for the
people now. The blueprint will be there later, so that's going up. And you heard me mention the Cave Con earlier. Also, I don't do it enough in the show. I usually do it before. If you haven't done it, do so already. Go see our boys at 318 Mid Rivers Mall Drive at the Beer Sauce Shop. They actually are starting a GoFundMe for open up a second location.
Nice.
They're looking to, I think.
Do they know an area?
I think the Kirkwood area, which is a perfect place for it for them. And then I think if I had to hazard a guess, they're going to move over to the Illinois side somewhere, probably like Edwardsville or something like that after that.
Wow.
I mean, just because that's what they want to do.
Moving on up.
I'm telling you, those guys are going places. Speaking of going places, another guy that's moved on up, our buddy Alex with Bomber Jackets. We got to get him on the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot for that in the next couple weeks to find a day because he's got all kinds of stuff. He's a mover and a shaker, that Alex. He's cooler than I am. He wears clothes I could never wear.
And he has hair.
He's got stylish hair. He's got model looks, and he's got a great product in his bomber jacket. So I'm not even going to tell you our promo code, RAPCAST15, because we're going to get that changed to BOMBCAST15 at some point.
Okay.
So that's it. So forget you heard the other one. Actually, just do it. So anyway, that's the end of our show. Say bye.
Okay, bye.
We're going to play the music. Sorry, it's short. We'll be back with a long show a couple of times next week. Bye-bye.